Chapter 12. Abby got up early and stood on the corner, watching the coffee shop from across the street. She sipped on the coffee she'd brewed at the apartment before leaving. She finished it and stuffed the cup into her coat pocket. She didn't know what she hoped to achieve, but Trish and the grocery store had piqued her interest. Thinking about it had kept her awake most of the night. Abby finally saw her. At first, she wasn't sure. A short, nondescript woman appeared from around the corner. The way she walked reminded Abby of a young bull, and she recognized her gait. It had to be Trish. The woman glanced at traffic, then hustled across the street. A plume of breath engulfed her head as she blew warm air into her hands, then rubbed them together. Abby watched her enter the coffee shop. She'd seen workers inside, but not well enough to know if the same waiter from the day before was inside. For all she knew, he might be the owner. He seemed a little old to be working as a waiter. Perhaps it was a family affair, and he helped out from time to time. She wondered why he wasn't in the service. He didn't look old enough for a deferment, and the job of waiter certainly wouldn't be considered an irreplaceable skilled job. Abby didn't have a plan other than to follow Trish. Perhaps she'd find out where she lived. What good would that do? She wondered. She felt like a police officer on a stakeout. The thought struck her as ridiculous, but it took her mind off Clyde and the hole in her life his absence created, at least for a little while. What harm could come? It would be a lark, but would probably lead to nothing. She really wanted to know what was in the back of the grocery store. She didn't buy the grocer's story about a special order. Trish didn't seem like someone who had the means to special order anything. They were up to something. She could simply ask again, but the grocer would undoubtedly tell her the same lie. Or maybe he wasn't lying. She thought perhaps she was acting this way to keep from going nuts. Perhaps it kept her from plunging into the depression that had been nipping at the edges of her psyche ever since Clyde left for Georgia. She hadn't felt this way when he'd been going through basic training in nearby Fort Lewis. Even though she rarely saw him, it didn't seem like he'd actually gone away. But now, it felt different. A few minutes later, Trish exited the coffee shop holding a steaming cup in one hand and a pastry in the other. She turned and backtracked across the street and disappeared around the corner. Abby hustled along the sidewalk, never taking her eyes off the corner. She finally got there and walked past it into the edge of the side street. She stopped and gawked down the road. She saw Trish striding a half a block away. A man following close behind Abby ran into her. He raised his voice. "So sorry, ma'am. I didn't expect you to stop." To Abby's horror, the commotion caught Trish's attention. Trish turned. They locked eyes before Abby could look away. She finally did, but not before she saw recognition in Trish's eyes. Trish turned and continued along the sidewalk as if nothing had happened. "Perhaps she didn't recognize me," Abby hoped. She apologized to the man, and he stepped around her and crossed the side street. Abby followed Trish, but at the end of the block, Trish turned left into an alleyway and out of sight. Abby trotted to the corner and stopped. The alley would be a strange place for Trish's apartment entrance. She decided it might be a back entrance. She took a deep breath and went around the corner. Trish's hand darted out and clenched Abby's neck in a vice-like grip. Stunned, Abby choked and gagged silently. "Why are you following me, girlie?" Abby felt the lights dimming. Finally, Trish eased her grip but kept her hand on Abby's neck. Abby coughed, and her throat felt dry and scratched. She couldn't speak right away. She finally managed to say, I wasn't. Trish squeezed again and said in a low, menacing voice, "Wrong answer, sweetie." Abby's wide eyes blinked, and tears turned her sight blurry. Trish eased off again, and Abby gasped, struggling to pull in a deep breath. "I met you yesterday." "I know that. And Vince told me someone matching your description was looking for me at the coffee shop. I saw you watching the place, too." She looked her up and down. "You don't look like a cop."
"A cop?
No, I'm not a cop."
"What then?"
"I'm nobody. I saw you go into the back room of the grocery. It seemed intriguing." What's your name?
Abby. I mean, Abigail Brooks. Cooper! Abigail Cooper!
She corrected herself. Trish sneered. You get caught on the wrong side of town? You lost? Abby cursed herself for not taking off her jewelry. Habits are hard to break. For all she knew, Trish might simply rob her right there. Trish's hand still gripped her neck, ready to choke the life out of her.
I live down the street a few blocks. I'm not lost. Like I said, I was curious.
Trish finally released her neck.
Curious, huh? What are you, a rich, bored housewife or something?
Abby shook her head.
I'm not rich.
You dress rich. That necklace could pay my rent for a year, I'll bet. Trish leaned in closer and studied Abby's lips and face. Your makeup's expensive, too.
It's all from my past life. My husband and I live a much simpler life now.
Your father's rich, then. And don't tell me Daddy doesn't share, because I won't believe it.
I'm newly married. We're making a go of it on our own.
Her voice broke slightly as she said,
He's left for the army. I was just... Well, when I saw you go in the back room, I just...
You just what?
I just wanted to know what was going on. I don't know why. Perhaps it took my mind off being alone. I'm sorry. I'll be on my way. It's none of my business.
You're right. It's not. Abby took a step back. She felt better getting out of the gloom of the dank alleyway. It looked like a place people could disappear and never be heard from again. Trish asked,
Why don't you get a job? The entire country's going crazy over this war stuff, and there's not enough men left to fill all the jobs. There's good money to be made, too.
Abby ran her hands down her coat, straightening up.
Why don't you?
Trish pulled out a half-empty box of cigarettes and shook two out. She offered one to Abby, who refused. Trish shrugged and lit hers with an old lighter. She took a drag and blew it out of the side of her mouth.
You always answer questions with questions. Do you?
Abby countered. Trish just gave her a hard stare. Abby finally said,
I'll probably end up doing something like that, but I don't want to work for my father.
There are plenty of places hiring. Pretty gal like you won't have any trouble.
What do you do? What's your job?
None of your business, remember?
So whatever you're doing in the back of the grocery store is your job?
Trish pointed the tip of her burning cigarette at Abby's face. Still none of your business. Anger flushed through Abby, and now that she'd backed away from the alley and had some space between herself and this blocky woman, she said,
Perhaps I'll alert the authorities. They're paranoid about spies from Germany and Japan. Perhaps I'll give them an anonymous tip.
Trish took a step closer, and her voice turned dangerous. Perhaps I'll snap your pretty little neck and stuff your body in a dumpster for the rats to feast on. Fear gripped Abby, and she nearly bolted. She'd underestimated this woman. She looked like she could do exactly what she'd said. Perhaps she'd done it many times before.
I...
Trish waved her hand dismissively. Don't get your panties in a wad. I'm not going to hurt you. She pointed at her like a teacher scolding a child. But you need to let this go. People like you don't belong in my world.
Your world? Are you in?
Abby hesitated, wondering if she might go too far. But she said it anyway.
The mafia?
Jesus, Abigail. If I were, you'd already be in a dumpster. What the hell's the matter with you? Trish took another drag on her cigarette and pointed at Abby again.
It's that kind of thing. You're not street smart. Go home. Get a job putting bombers together, and when your hubby gets back from saving the world, you can pop out a litter of puppies and live happily ever after.
Abby didn't know why the statement made her angry. It's exactly what she wanted from life, minus the job part. But it did.
I'm not going away until you tell me what you're doing back there in the grocery store. Now I'm thinking it really might be traitorous.
She took another step back from Trish. Trish took a deep drag on her cigarette, nearly taking it down to her fingertips. She dropped it and made a show of grinding it into the wet concrete with her heavy work boots. Trish shrugged. Well, that ain't gonna happen.
Then I'll make the call. Or I'll just ask the grocer. What's his name? Oh, yes, Charlie. Is it illegal? He'll lose his business.
She backed away another few steps, then turned and hustled toward the main street.
Don't, stated Trish. She followed her to the edge of the street. Jesus Christ, I'll tell you. After all, who are you going to tell, your knitting club?
Abby bristled but faced Trish with her arms crossed. Trish finally said,
Better. I'll show you. That way I can't be blamed for telling you. Come to the alleyway alongside the grocery store tonight at midnight.
She pointed at Abby again.
But you gotta promise you won't tell anyone, or so help me, I will hurt you.
Abby didn't like walking along the street at such a late hour. She passed few people, and those she did gave her odd, seemingly feral looks. She considered turning back several times. Surely that would make Trish happy. But she kept going, her curiosity getting the better of her. She convinced herself that it would be a one-time thing. Once she saw whatever she'd see, her curiosity would be satisfied and she'd never think about it again. She'd be able to get on with her life. She finally made it to the grocery store. As she hurried past, she looked inside but saw nothing out of the ordinary. No lights shone besides a lone nightlight near the back. The place looked locked up tight. She slowed as she approached the alleyway beside the store. She'd walked past it after she'd left Trish that morning. It was barely wide enough for vehicles. Stacks of empty produce boxes adorned the far brick wall, and a hint of rot permeated the air. She stopped at the edge and looked around. A man across the street hustled along with his chin buried in his coat and his hat pulled low over his brow. He didn't look her way.
Here goes nothing, she murmured to herself.
She went around the corner, expecting to see. She didn't know what. Nothing. She took another step and waited for her eyes to adjust to the low light. She checked her watch but couldn't see it. She knew she was on time.
Had Trish tricked her? Why?
Just then, movement, and a flame illuminated Trish's face as she lit a cigarette. She stood near the boxes, and in the dark, she looked like just another piece of trash. Abby took one last glance behind her and carefully strode down the alleyway, trying to avoid oily puddles. When she got to Trish, she said,
I'm here.
No kidding, Trish answered in a monotone. I told Charlie about you. He nearly blew a gasket. Stay out of the way. When we go in, I'll point where you should sit. Don't move from that spot for any reason. Got it?
Yes. Okay.
Trish looked Abby up and down. She couldn't see much in the low light, but she said,
You couldn't have worn pants?
Abby didn't know what to say, but stammered,
I didn't know what to wear.
She'd applied copious amounts of makeup to cover the cut on her nose and the slight discoloration beneath her right eye and thrown on a house dress.
Stay in the corner.
Trish stubbed out her cigarette and went to a metal door and knocked. A rusty metal bar slid open and a pair of eyes filled the space. Seeing Trish, the eyes disappeared, a latch disengaged, and the door opened a few inches. Trish opened it further and dragged Abby in quickly. Abby recognized the hulking man who'd opened the door, the waiter from the coffee shop. Abby remembered Trish had called him Vince. He scowled down at her, and she squirmed under his intense scrutiny and menacing girth.
Persistent, ain't you? He said.
Abby felt she should apologize, but said nothing instead. Music and light spilled from down the hall. The low hum of conversation and the clinking of glasses reminded her of countless dinner parties. She relaxed a little, thinking perhaps she'd stumbled upon some unlicensed bar. Trish looked at her watch.
5 minutes till we start.
Vince grunted and put his back to the door. He stared at Abby until she finally turned away. He reminded her of her father's driver, Sal, only not as kind. She thought of Clyde for a moment. She wondered what he would think of all this. He'd be worried sick if he knew where she stood right now, and probably cross, too. But thinking of him gave her strength, and she followed Trish down the hall and into a large room filled with people. In the center of the room, a large round table with high edges, covered in a fine layer of green felt, dominated the room. Two identical but smaller versions sat on either side. Low chairs surrounded the tables, and stacks of colorful chips stood like tiny towers in front of three men dressed in tuxedos, who manned each table like captains of a ship. Trish pulled on her sleeve, and Abby followed her to a dark corner. She pointed to a metal stool and said, "Sit there and don't make a sound." Abby sat and stripped off her coat. The cigar and cigarette smoke-filled room felt hot and stifling. Gambling, she thought. Well, that's not as bad as what I imagined. For the next few hours, she watched in stunned fascination as colorful chips passed between the gamblers like water. She quickly figured out how much money each colored chip represented. She knew a little about poker and cards, but these men played with huge amounts of money. She didn't recognize any of them, but wondered if her father would. She knew her father had money, but she'd never seen so much of it bandied around so haphazardly. It fascinated her. Watching the players gain, then lose, then gain again, using their leverage to push others out. And the bluffs! Stunning! The games lasted until 6 a.m. She barely noticed the time slipping by. She suddenly realized she had to pee worse than she ever remembered needing to before. Despite what Trish had said, she couldn't wait. She stood painfully and had to walk hunched over. She'd seen others use the washroom and hoped she'd find it open. She waddled her way over and grasped the knob. Locked. Damn. She didn't know if she could hold it. A man across from the door, standing in low light, said, "You're the last person I ever expected to see here." She knew the voice, but couldn't quite place it. She had to pee bad enough to not care. The doorknob jostled, and her eyes widened, hopefully. The voice had probably been there before her, but she couldn't wait. The door finally opened, and she pushed the startled gambler out of the way and hustled inside with a blurted, "Pardon me!" For a grocery store back room, the bathroom was surprisingly clean, no doubt catering to the rich poker players. She barely got her panties down in time. Relief flooded her, and she couldn't keep from giggling. This was perhaps the least ladylike behavior she'd ever exhibited. Her mother would be positively mortified. Then she remembered the voice. "Oh my God, it's Miles Burr," she thought. "He'll tell my parents and create a scene." She washed her hands, taking her time, hoping Miles would leave. Perhaps it wasn't him, but no, she knew that voice. He must have been at one of the smaller tables. She hadn't noticed him before. She exited, and there he stood, grinning with those sparkling teeth and that chiseled jawline. "It is you," he said with delight in his voice. "Mr. Burr, I'm surprised to see you here." "Not as surprised as I am to see you, darling." "Mister? Come on, we're old friends, Abby." She bristled at the familiarity. She'd known him a long time. They'd flirted at their parents' parties when they were in their early teens, but nothing ever came from it, thank goodness. And she'd made it clear later that nothing ever would. "It's a long story," she said coyly. "I'd love to hear it. Some other time, perhaps." She looked at her watch and guffawed. "My God, it's late! Or early. I must be going." He smiled, and she added hopefully, "Let's keep this private, shall we?" "Mum's the word, if you allow me to take you to breakfast. I know a lovely spot just down the street. They make great poached eggs." "No, thank you." She held up her ring finger as though it could ward off the devil. "As old friends," he persisted. "No." She didn't give him a chance to ask again. She saw Trish standing near her chair, looking around, obviously annoyed. Abby walked to her quickly. She glanced back in time to see Miles enter the bathroom. Trish saw her coming and her anger subsided. "There you are," she said.
"I almost peed my pants," Abby whispered.
Trish laughed. A few gamblers still milled around, but most had left, seamlessly blending in with the normal early morning traffic.
"So, what did you think?"
"Poker." I'm glad it wasn't dogfighting or something violent like that.
Charlie, the grocer, approached. He looked annoyed seeing Abby there. He slipped a wad of cash into Trish's hand. She thumbed through it, expertly counting every bill. She said appreciatively, "Good haul tonight." She extended her hand, and she and Charlie shook. "See you Friday." Charlie nodded but pointed at Abby. "Don't you breathe a word of this. I'll lose my business." The fervor in his voice scared her. She shook her head.
"I won't. I promise." "It was fun to watch," she added.
His scowl deepened and he said, "Well, you can't come back. It's invite only and you're not invited. Besides, women aren't allowed." Trish gave him a hard look as he corrected, "You know what I mean."
Abby heard the bathroom door open and she darted into the hall leading to the outside door.
Trish gave her a questioning look and Abby said,
"I'll explain later."
She darted into a broom closet and shut the door. She heard Miles talking with Charlie, but she couldn't decipher what they said. She finally heard footsteps and someone leaving through the back door. She heard Vince's gruff voice, "See you next time, Mr. Burr." When she heard the door shut, she stepped from the closet, and Trish stood there with her arms crossed. Abby said,
"I know him. He's an associate of my father's. He works at his factory. I've known him for years. We grew up together."
"He's quite the hunk."
Abby looked surprised and said, "He's not my type."
"Rich and handsome?" "Yeah, me either," she teased.
"He saw me at the bathroom. I hope he doesn't tell my parents."
Trish's demeanor changed on a dime. She pulled Abby close and squeezed her arm.
"Keep your voice down. Charlie hears you say something like that, he'll throw a fit."
She eased the pressure on her arm and said, "I wouldn't worry about Mr. Burr, though. Cops found out about this place, and it'd be embarrassing for all of them. None of the players will talk. They enjoy themselves too much."
Trish escorted Abby to the door, but before Abby left, she turned and asked, "This might be too personal, but how do you get paid? You weren't gambling."
Trish exchanged a look with Vince. She said, "It was my idea. I provide the dealers and the security. They pay to play, and we get 2% of the biggest winner's take."
Abby noticed Vince grinning. She said, "I really enjoyed watching. Can I come next week?"
"No. Goodbye, Abigail." Abby tried to get some sleep, but she couldn't stop thinking about the poker ring she'd discovered. She had questions and didn't want to simply forget about the whole thing. Besides, it helped take her mind off Clyde's absence. She'd barely thought about her loneliness last night. She left the apartment early, not sure about her intentions. The sun shone through intermittent clouds and steam rose as the sodden streets slowly dried. She steered clear of the grocery store. She went across the street and walked the half block to the coffee shop. Vince noticed her and scowled. She sat down and he came over, wiping his large hands on his filthy apron.
"What are you doing here, Abby?"
"Getting a cup of coffee. What else?"
Vince rolled his eyes. "Anything else, or just coffee?"
"Just coffee."
She flipped the coffee cup upright, and he went behind the counter, exchanged words with the cook in the back, and came back with the steaming coffee carafe. He poured, and she said,
"Thank you."
"Don't mention it," he said automatically.
"How long have you known Trish?"
she asked as innocently as possible. "I don't have time for this." She looked around the mostly empty shop.
"Really? Seems pretty quiet."
"Look, Abby, it's none of your business, okay? Just let it go." Abby sipped her coffee and gave him a quick smile.
"Okay."
The bell over the door rang, and Abby saw Trish waltz in like she owned the place. Abby couldn't help but admire her self-confidence. She'd never met anyone quite like her. Trish greeted Vince and the cooks behind the counters loudly. To Abby, she sounded like one of the boys. She felt envious for a moment. Vince pointed at Abby, and Trish's happy smile faded into a deep scowl. She hitched up her pants and weaved her way to the table. She put both grubby hands on it and leaned in. "What the hell are you doing here?" Abby lifted the coffee and took another sip.
Good coffee.
Trish guffawed.
Nah, it's swill. You're used to much better, I'm sure. Or perhaps tea is your thing. All you rich folks drink tea, right?
I told you before, I'm not rich.
Trish whipped the vacant chair around and sat in it backward, her arms across the top of the backrest.
You gonna make a habit of this?
Abby heard the malice in Trish's voice. She steeled herself and answered,
I like it here. Maybe I will.
Trish sighed heavily. She took off the tattered Irish-style hat she wore and ran her hands through her short black hair. She turned and raised her voice.
Hey, Vince! Come here!
Vince finished pouring coffee for another patron and came to the table. He looked from Abby to Trish.
What?
Claudette's mad at Charlie again. Says she won't work this Friday.
Vince shook his head and looked at his feet. I wish those two never got together, he mumbled. Abby looked momentarily stunned.
Claudette and Charlie? I thought Charlie had a wife.
Trish looked at her as though she was simple.
They're both married. Doesn't stop them from screwing like damn rabbits, though.
Abby felt filthy even thinking about it, but she kept her opinion to herself. Vince said,
We can make do without her, I guess.
Trish shook her head.
Those old perverts like to be served by a nice-looking woman. They expect it.
She looked at Abby pointedly.
Vince said, Oh, for criminy sakes. You want her?
Trish said, What choice do we have? Bringing someone new in's risky as hell. She knows the score, at least.
What if she tells her bridge group about it? What then?
Abby bit her lower lip, keeping herself from jumping in and letting Vince know what he could do with his bridge group comment. It felt odd being the topic of a conversation taking place right in front of her, as though she weren't there at all.
She won't blab. She knows if she does, she'll get hurt. I don't care who her daddy is.
Vince finally said, Well, okay. I guess we'll give her a try. They both focused on Abby.
Trish said, I won't go easy on you. I expect you to work. You think you can handle it? Serving drinks? I can certainly do that. But I won't do anything,
she felt dirty even saying it,
to harm my marriage.
Trish waved her hand as though shooing a fly away.
There's nothing like that. These are respectable men, mostly. Just wear something nice.
She looked her up and down.
Something a little fancier than this house dress. Maybe something off the shoulder.
Abby wondered what Clyde would think of all this.
She asked, So, a glorified cocktail waitress, then?
Trish said, You'll be expected to help us with the setup and the takedown, too, and I'll show you how to help the dealers. There's not a lot of sitting around, not like last time.
Okay. I'll do it,
she said, extending her hand.
Trish took it, and they shook. Vince said, Since she's new, she shouldn't start out getting the same pay as Claudette. And what happens when she and Charlie make up? What then?
Trish scowled at him. You're a greedy son of a gun, aren't you?
Vince shrugged.
Trish said, We'll just have to see how she does first.
She refocused on Abby and said,
Come to my apartment. I'll show you what you'll need to know, especially the dealer stuff. Card players are particular.
Abby didn't have anything else to do. She agreed immediately and slugged down the rest of her tepid coffee.